Tim, the scrub. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here at the church, and we're going to get our Bibles open again this morning to Romans. We're in Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans 5, so grab yourself a Bible or a device and turn to Romans 5. That's going to be read to us today by Sharon from the church family. Just as you're turning there, though, let me just give a quick plug. On the email that comes out from the church on a Sunday morning, there is a sheet attached which is designed to help kind of primary school age kids to listen in and to engage and to fill in some blanks as we go through. So if you don't use that, do make use of that. That may help you at home. It may not, but it's entirely up to you to have a go. But let me give a quick plug to that. Sharon's going to read Romans 5, verses 1 to 11 for us now.
Good morning, church family. Our reading is from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks, Sharon. We'll keep that open in front of you, and let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your gospel, your announcement of good news to our world that we are spending these Sunday mornings looking at in this letter of Romans. Father, this is a gospel upon which many of us have taken our stand. This is a gospel we believe to be of first importance. We believe this is the message by which we are being saved. And so, Father, please this morning, would you bless your gospel to us? Would it transform us and change us and grab hold of our hearts this morning? Father, please help us to see afresh what is ours in Christ because of your great kindness to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I have one of these bank accounts that has what it calls lifestyle benefits that come with it. So I signed up for this bank account years and years ago, and I have a number of things that I got given with it. So I have AA breakdown cover. I have phone insurance. I even have 6 free cinema tickets. Now, I'm not trying to sell you a bank account this morning. I'm simply trying to say that I signed up for this account. I got hold of this bank account years ago, put my name on it, took hold of it, and I have been given what they call lifestyle benefits, things that come with it. Now, this morning, as we come back to God's gospel, as we spend our Sunday mornings digging into this good news from God to our world, as we arrive in chapter 5, this passage that Sharon's just read for us, we discover some of the lifestyle benefits, or more accurately, life benefits, that come to those who have been justified through faith. Just look at verse 1. Therefore, Paul writes, since we have been justified through faith, we have. And then he goes on to list a bundle of things that those of us who are justified through faith now have, benefits that come from justification through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, before we spend our time this morning looking at these benefits, we just kind of need to back up a bit and just refresh ourselves where we're at. What does it mean? What is justification through faith? Justification is being declared right, innocent before God. It is being made, declared righteous. It means that on that day of God's wrath that Paul speaks about so much in this book, on that day of God's wrath, the justified will not be guilty on that day. They will not be judged. And that the day of God's fair and final wrath, we will not face judgment. Paul has just spent four chapters, we'll just quickly whiz through to remind ourselves, very carefully showing us, number one, why we all need justification. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, whoever we are. Whether we're religious or we're irreligious, whether we're moral or whether we're immoral, we all need justification. We all need this putting right with God. Number two, he's shown us the way of justification. He's shown us that it is through Jesus Christ, whom he presented as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. Through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, people who are guilty before God can be made right with God. And number three, he's shown us, which Tim reminded us of this morning, how we take hold of that gift of justification. It is through faith. As Paul says, it is to be received by faith. And as we arrive here in chapter 5, verse 1, he now speaks to those who, through faith, through trusting in the work of Jesus Christ, have been, it's a past thing, it's something that has happened, have been justified, made right with God. Now, before we dive into this chapter, I need you to kind of answer honestly, well, which camp are you in this morning? Is this chapter addressing you? Is this chapter about to list out things that are yours because you are justified by faith? If it's you, then this chapter is going to spell out the lifestyle benefits that are yours because you're trusting Jesus Christ. If you're not yet this morning justified, or wouldn't say you've been trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, then chapter 5 this morning is going to put before you that the life benefits, the transformations to everyday life that being justified, made right with God through Jesus Christ can make in your world. And so let's dive into these benefits then. What are the life benefits of justification? Well, it's really three boasts, three things that we can boast about, three things that we can be joyfully certain about. See, just look at verse 2. It all centers around these boasts. Verse 2, look at the very end, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And then second boast, you'll see in verse 3, and not only so, but we also glory. Now, our translation of the Greek word here puts it glory, but it's the same word. And we also boast in our sufferings. And then we get a third boast down in verse 11. You'll see it there. If you look down, not only is this so, but we also boast. So here it is, three things that we can boast about. These are the lifestyle benefits, the things that have changed for us as we're justified by faith. Now, what do we mean by boast? Let's think about boasting for a moment. Because I want to put it across this morning to us that boasting means things that we can be joyfully certain about. Is boasting to you a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think? I guess it's both, isn't it, really? We know that the word can be both. So Paul has already used it negatively in this letter. Chapter 2, verse 17, Paul captures a kind of a wrong sense of boasting, a bragging, an arrogance. You know, we know that kind of boasting. That's wrong, or a self-boasting. But actually, it can be used in a positive sense as well. You can boast in something in the sense of that you can be certain about it. You can be joyfully certain that it's true. This is true of my life. This is true of my world. And I can boast in it. I'm joyfully certain about it. See, perhaps, you know, think about running a race. You know, that there you are and you've got a two-year-old child next to you. You might be confident. I might be confident that I can beat a two-year-old, I hope, in a sprinting race. This sense of being joyfully confident in something you know to be true. And Paul says, as we come to chapter 5, that there are a number of things that we can be joyfully confident about every day in our lives as those who have been justified by faith. And I want to call them, which is hopefully on your screens, the joyful certainties of justification. The joyful certainties of justification. And so all we're going to do is we're going to pick out these three boasts. We're going to spend a bit of time looking at them. And then we're going to wrap it up this morning. But these are three joyful certainties of justification. Number one, we can be joyfully confident about our relationship with God. So just look at verse 1 with me. Let's press into these words. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Now, I think that many Christians, many of us who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for justification, struggle to live like that is true. Like that is an everyday reality. I wake up in the morning and it's still true. I have peace with God. I think so many of us that are Christians live every day like we kind of fall in and out of peace with God. And largely we think like that when we look at our behavior as the grounds of our peace with God. You can see how it works, can't you? When we have a bad day, I've had a shocker day. I was grumpy with my work colleagues and I shouted at someone in the car when I was driving home and I watched that thing online that I shouldn't have watched, and today I think God's angry with me. I don't think I'm at peace with God today. Or perhaps we go up and down. We think we fall in and out of peace with God because we're reading whether we have peace from the circumstances that God has allowed into our lives. I've had a bad week. I had bad news. Bad things happened to me. I got a bad doctor's announcement. Perhaps God, I'm not at peace with God at the moment. Perhaps he's unhappy with me. Can you identify with that in some way? I think lots of us who have been Christians a while tend to operate in that kind of thinking. But having been justified through faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, what does Paul say? What is one of the lifestyle benefits of having been justified? We have, permanently have, peace with God. It's not a peace that's based on my performance. It's based on Christ's performance. It's not a peace that's based on my circumstances. It overrides circumstances. Doesn't fluctuate up and down. It is founded on, it is grounded on, my peace with God is based on Jesus Christ. Look how he goes on. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, and so is your peace. The word peace captures the idea of wholeness, harmony. We might say friendship. See, Paul, in verse 10, look at verse 10. He says, if while we were God's enemies, that's quite strong language, isn't it? But our pre-justified state is enemies of God. But having been justified, having trusted in the work of Jesus, I now become God's friend. Friendships are very precious, aren't they? Many of us have suffered from a lack of kind of close contact with our friends over this last year. You know, we found also, though, any contact with friend over Zoom or a phone call or a text or a walk has been so very precious. But think about your friendships. Think about how you view those friends. Do your friends drop in and out of friendship with you? Is that how it works? A good day, bad day? No, it's a relational status. They are your friends. Friends have good days and bad days, yes, but they are your friend. And that is God's disposition to those of us who have been justified through faith in Christ. We have peace. Peace with God. We're friends with God. And what is more, verse 2, look how he goes on. Through Jesus Christ, we have also gained access. Gained access. Listen to that. By faith into this grace in which we now stand. We stand in the place of grace. We stand ongoing in the place of God's favor, of his smile, of his friendship. And the picture of this word, accessing into grace, is one of those kind of, picture a period drama, and you've got the court of a king, and you know, who's in the court? Well, it's not his enemies, it's his friends. It's the people that are in favor with the king and enjoying the company of the king. In gifting to us justification, in gifting to us a right relationship with him through Jesus Christ, he's not just dishing out verdicts. You know, here's a not guilty for you, here's a not guilty for you, move on. No, God wonderfully is bringing us near. He's bringing us into his court. He's bringing us into friendship with him. And that's why, you see, we get this boast in verse 11. I'm starting with the last boast. But look at verse 11. Not only is this so, well, what does he say? We boast in God. We are joyfully confident in God. Not like he's some kind of property of ours or trump card of ours, but we're joyfully confident in our friendship and our relationship to him. We're joyfully confident that he loves us, that he's on our side, that he's favorably disposed towards us because we're his friends. We boast, we're joyfully confident about God. We enjoy him. See, so many of us that are trusting in Jesus live in an ongoing fear of God, don't we? A sort of spiritual tiptoeing around God, hoping that somehow we don't fall out of peace with God, that we don't kind of lose his friendship. But that is living life not based on what Scripture is telling us about our relationship with God, our position before God, but it is based on the feelings that we may have or past experiences of authority figures. Paul says, please hear this, this is a genuine benefit of those justified by faith. He says that we can be joyfully confident in our present relationship with God. One that has now been opened up for us through Jesus Christ is based on his work, not mine. And so every day that I wake up, I have God as my friend. I'm at peace with him. It's joyfully confident, joyful confidence. Number one, I can be confident in my relationship with God. Number two, we can be joyfully confident about our future. Having been justified by faith, we can now be joyfully confident. We can boast about our future. Look at verse 2, very end of verse 2. And we boast. Here's the second boast, okay? We boast in the hope of the glory of God. As those justified by faith, we are joyfully confident about the future that is to come. Perhaps this year, more than any in your life, you are longing for a world without viruses or without violence. with no more depression or no more death, with no more poverty and no more perversity. That is the world. That's this world that we're kind of longing for, is the world that those of us who are justified by faith are not only longing for, looking forward to, but we can be joyfully certain that we will be part of, we will share in. To hope for something is to look forward to it, isn't it? This week's, last couple of weeks has laid lots of little hopes before us, hasn't it? You know, bring on June, I hope for June. But actually to hope for something, it is to look forward to it. And we are looking forward to something here, to those of us who are trusting that Jesus was raised from the dead to eternal life. Our hope is that we are going to share in that same glory that he had on Easter Sunday. See, what does it mean? Look at the end of verse 2. What does this phrase mean? Think about it. It's not one we use often. To hope in the glory of God. To hope in the glory of God, first of all, means that we are hoping for a day when the fullness of God's glory will be on display for all to see. The fullness of his goodness. So we see the glory of God today. We see it in part, in dimmed ways. The Bible tells us that creation displays the glory of God. His power, his invisible qualities have been on display since the foundations of the world. We see the glory, the goodness, the character of God on display at the cross and in the resurrection. Glorify your name, Father, through me, Jesus prayed. The cross is the moment where we see the glory of God, but there's a day coming when it will be fully revealed. It will be absolutely seen for what it is. And secondly, though, it's not just a longing for the display, the full revelation of God's goodness, but it's also a longing to share in that glory. To have this world restored to its glory, to its perfection, that we might be restored to perfection, the perfection of Adam in the garden, without sin, with life, eternal life. The future day of Jesus' return before justification is a day to be feared. It's a day of his wrath. But because of Jesus, the glory of God, this day when this full revelation of his goodness appears, is a day I can now look forward to. It's a day I can be confident in. Look at verse 9. Paul captures this in this particular way. He says, since we have been saved, been justified by his blood, this past action, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? When that day comes, we're going to be saved. And I can be confident in that. Again, not because of my performance, not because of my circumstances, not because of my family, but because of Jesus Christ. I can be joyfully confident about the future. That's something to boast about, isn't it? Are you confident in that day? Are you looking forward to the hope of the glory of God? When his full revelation of his goodness is revealed and spills into a new creation which we share in. Are you looking forward to that day? See, we can be joyfully certain as those justified by faith in our future and in our relationship with God. But number three, we can be joyfully confident about our suffering. Now, dive with me into 3 and 4. This is probably the one that, you know, you're with me. You're with me up to this point. Oh, yes, I get it. We've got peace with God. And great, I've got a future. But this one maybe causes us to think, well, what are you talking about, Paul? See, look at what he says, verse 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also glory. Same word. We also boast in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. See, life is filled, isn't it, with sufferings. Those sufferings that come just through living life in our world. Those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ won't avoid those sufferings, despite what some false teachers would have you believe. The word suffering that we have here, there's several words for suffering in the New Testament. This one captures the general sense of suffering that comes from living in a broken world. So, list some of the things that may have been part of our week. Arguments that happen in the home. Bodies that aren't working properly. The frustrations of the internet cutting you in and out of meetings that you wanted to be part of and were even running. Not working, car accidents happen, thefts happen, pandemics happen, battles with mental health, cancer, all of these things come under this heading of sufferings. And those justified by faith can be confident, joyfully certain about our sufferings. Now we need to push that. What does that mean? What is Paul saying? Well, he's not saying that we find joy or pain in some kind of masochistic way in our struggles. What he's saying is that those justified by faith can be joyfully confident that God is doing something in and through our sufferings. See, look at verse 3. He says, not only so, but we also glory or boast or exult in our sufferings because we know that there's something that those justified by faith can know that makes them confident about what is going on in the hard things that they face. And what is it that we can know? Well, look at verse 3. We know, first of all, that suffering produces, grows, works in us perseverance. The idea of perseverance here is the idea of endurance. Enduring something. So each tough thing that we go through actually grows in us, works in us, an ability to stand firm in the next hard thing that we face. I've got a friend at the moment who's doing a couch to 5K running program. So he's never run before and he wanted to start running. And so he's downloaded this program that says, well, here's how you go from not being able to run, getting out of breath when you walk just up the stairs, to running 5 kilometers. And very simply, this program is designed to build endurance, perseverance, that ability to just keep going a little bit further, a little bit further as things are hard. So each day he has to run a little bit further, another 5 minutes or another few minutes here. And what he's doing in that time is it's growing in him perseverance, endurance, so that he can keep going. And that's what sufferings do in us. That's what God uses sufferings to do in us. Perseverance, look how it goes on. Verse 3, perseverance produces character. Character is comes from this idea of tried and tested. Character that's walked the block a few times. Character that is mature. You've met people like that. If I could put it like this, sufferings produce war veterans. They produce people who are hardened by battle, tried and tested by battle, and are still standing. And character produces hope. You see that? Look at verse 4. Character, hope. Character, mature Christian character, is one that longs for the hope of the glory of God. Is a little bit more certain in the glory of God to come. See, every suffering, every trial we go through is working in us, producing in us, under the hand of God, a hope for something better, a dissatisfaction with this world, and a genuine looking forward to what God has promised to those who are justified by faith. Every hard thing we go through can produce that hope in us. That is providing, of course, that we approach those sufferings in the right way. And we know that we're sure, we're confident, we boast in the fact that that is what God might be doing in us through our sufferings, through the hard things we face. And why would God go to all that effort to produce hope in you? This inner longing, this inner looking forward to something better to come. Why would he do that to you? Why would he put you through all of that? Well, look at verse 5. Because hope does not put us to shame. Friends, there will never be a day in your life, there will never be a day in your eternity where you sit there and you say, I knew I shouldn't have trusted God. Because God never lets his people down. Hope will not put you to shame. Hope will not let you down. Hope will never leave you, as you might say, with egg on your face, where people are looking at you going, ha, you should never have trusted God. And how do we know? How do we know that hope will never let us down? Verse 5, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Our hope, our looking forward to glory may be laughable by some, but to us it is absolutely certain because it is founded on the love of God. It is founded on his unbreakable, unshakable, undying love. And that is a love, verse 5, that those justified by faith have an experiential taste of. We've had his love poured into our hearts. The Holy Spirit has made that love real to us. You would never have believed in Jesus if his love had not been poured into your heart. But it's not just based on our feelings. This certain hope grounded on love is based in the facts of history. Look at verse 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. See, when we had nothing in the tank, when we had nothing to offer, God stepped in to do something in history to save us. Very rarely, verse 7, will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. God's love is not like human love. It's completely different. Why? How does he prove his love? Verse 8, but God demonstrates, he proves, he's evidencing his love to us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were unrighteous, while we were deserving of his wrath, Christ died for us. These are the foundations of your hope. How can you be sure? How is hope worthwhile? Because it's all grounded on the provable, undying, unshakable, unbreakable love of God. Hope will never put you to shame. You will never have a day where you say, I wish I hadn't trusted God. And that's why we can be joyfully confident about the hard things we face. Because we believe, we know, that God uses those hard things to produce in us perseverance. Perseverance gives us tried and tested character. And tried and tested character hopes for heaven, and hope will never let you down. And that's why we can be joyfully confident about the sufferings we face. Not that we're confident in the suffering. No one likes the suffering. But we're confident that in those sufferings, God is doing something good. He's growing in us hope. Our time's gone. Friends, three things that we can boast about as those justified by faith. Three lifestyle benefits. Things we can be joyfully confident about. We can be joyfully confident in our relationship with God. We can be joyfully confident about our future. And we can even be joyfully confident about what God is doing in our sufferings today. Are you justified? If you're justified this morning, then these things are your boasts. These are things that are true for your Monday and your Tuesday. And if you're not justified, then please don't skip over that bit. These cannot be yours until you have put your faith in Jesus Christ to be made right with God. And this morning, why don't you do that? so that you can joyfully, along with those of us who are trusting Jesus, say Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not by anything I've done, but through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Let's pray together, and then the band's going to lead us in a final song. Father, we want to praise you this morning for these joyful certainties of justification, all that are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for peace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your friendship, that you are disposed towards us in that way. We thank you for the hope of your full glory being revealed, your full goodness on display. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. And thank you for what you're working in us, even in the tough things we face at the moment. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.